Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary.
Welcome once again. You are listening to Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to the best internet program for this time and for this season. As you log on to this program, you'll see our slogan that says help change a life. Oh, that's powerful, brother, because we know that the ministry changes life. We know that the ministry makes a difference. As you have been familiar with this program, you know we come to you each and every week with guests. This guest that's making a difference in the lives of God's people. Last week you had an opportunity to hear me share a few words of encouragement at Shady Grove Baptist Church during our outreach ministry day there. We pray that you have been blessed. If you missed that, you can go back and log on to our previous shows in our archive section. We got quite a large archive. And you know what? God has blessed us to be hosting this particular program, Free on the Inside, with Granny at Granny's Place for 4 years now. Can you imagine 4 years? I've been sharing the gospel with you. For 4 years, I've been introducing you to men and women that's changing the lives of people, anywhere from education, career opportunities, to writers, to play directors, all these people are Christian based, and they have a word from God concerning God's people. And so I encourage you to continue to listen to the program. I encourage you to call in to the program and voice your comments regarding some of the topics that we have. You know, I want to share with you a few minutes before our guest comes on. I do jail and prison and street ministry, and last Thursday we did our first Bible study at the Hutchinson Jail. And I was very pleased and surprised at the men that came out. You know, sometimes we have as little as 3 men that come out to Bible study. Sometimes we have as many as 30. But during our first Bible study, we had 20 men that came out to hear the word of God. 20 men that wants to have life in a relationship restored through the power of God. We have 20 men that's out to make a difference. We have 20 men that God is pouring out his grace and his mercy and his understanding on. And I wanted to share with you before our guest came on about the power of the gospel. The gospel is able to change the lives of men. You know, we have this slogan that's a part of our ministry is James 5:20. It said to let them know him that can change the errors of a sinner not only save a soul from death, but cover a multitude of sins. I want you to think about that. That's James 20:5. Amen. But our Bible study, I'm going to give you a little insight on the Bible study because we're going back next week. At our last Bible study, we were just studying various scriptures that try to encourage the men that God was speaking to their issues right where they are. We talked about how Jesus was asked this question about a blind man in John the 9th chapter. And the disciples said, Jesus, did this man mess up or was it something else? Was it his mother or his father? And Jesus let them know that man didn't mess up, but it was for the glory of God. And I let these brothers know that they've been wrestling with situations their whole life. Why am I doing like this? Why are these things happening to me? Why? And I was letting them know that they're not to be concerned with those things. Yes, those things are going to need to be addressed, but they need to quit wrestling with their past. That's what the deal was. Quit wrestling with your past and reach to your future. And Jesus Christ said, this man didn't mess up, nor his mother or father, for the glory of God. I let them brothers know that they can't undo the things that they does. But from this point on, maybe God can get the glory. Yes, you have been incarcerated. Yes, you have been sentenced to jail, whatever it may be. But let God get the glory out of this. And you guess what? As they were in Bible study, God was getting the glory. Because the devil tried to keep them from being a part of that Bible study by just putting things on their mind, by TV programs, by games that they can play, or by writing letters to loved ones. But they saw to do something better. They chose the better things in life. It was to come out and study God's word. And we also talked to them about Gideon in Judges, the fifth chapter, how Gideon was fearful for what God had spoken into his life and how he had his doubts and God had to give him words of encouragement. And I was sharing with the brothers, yes, it's a challenge to try to live a different lifestyle than what they're accustomed to, because all their friends and family members may have been doing the same thing that they had always done. And when they get out of jail, they don't want to live that. And it's a challenge. But I told them to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I told them to be with like-minded people. I told them that God would make a way of escape. And those way of escape, it's nothing mystery about way of escape. Maybe just a phone call. You was going to do one thing and someone call you up and say, hey, I need you to do this, or I need some assistance. That's your way of escape. You have to be very mindful of the things that God bring into our path, because that may be a way of escape. For my own self there, that happened to me long before I became to this Christian lifestyle, that God kept opening up doors for me. And I just said, no. And eventually I started walking in the path that he chose for me. And guess what? It was a blessing. But I shared with those men, you should have seen their eyes light up. And at the end of the service, the brother said, brother, come back and tell us more and tell us more. And I was telling them how God was able to use a man named Saul, and he met him on that road to Damascus. And I challenged those men, think about the path that you chose. What road are you on? Do that road lead to death and destruction, or does it lead to eternal life? Choose you this day. That's what I shared with them. You have to make a difference. And you know what? And the brothers, man, they were able to grasp hold to what it is. We had quite a large audience there at the Bible study. We had blacks, white, Hispanics, and they all was coming out to seek in and hear a word from God. And we also shared with them how God was able to just use David, and how David had fell short of some things, but David wrote a lot of the poetry in the Book of Songs. And Songs 1 talking about blessed is the man that don't sit in the council of the ungodly. You know, and I was sharing with the brothers a blessing by doing the right thing. And then he said that he should be like that tree planted by that river. Now, I'm just kind of moving around here because we got our guests coming on here in a few minutes. But I wanted to share with you some things about ministry, because as you see this slogan say, help change a life. That's what ministry is about. We never know the hearts that's going to be touched and changed by sharing the gospel. Guess what? We don't need to know, because that way we get the big head. We'll start being all puffed up, you know, for what someone plants, someone waters, but God gives the increase. So when I go out, I don't know if I'm planting or watering, but I know for sure that God gets the increase. Amen, amen. And also, we were sharing with the young men about how David had fell short, but yet David still had a desire to be with God. And I was challenged still. You may fall short, but your desire ought to be continually to walk this Christian path that's been set before you. You know, as you study the Bible, you see that men and women, sometimes they fell short, but God still loved them. And in our life, we have to realize that God still loves us, even though we fall short. He don't want to leave us like that, and he ain't going to leave us like that. But his love is so great that it compels men to come. You say, man, he still love me after I done messed up like this. He still want me when I done did this. Oh, man, what manner of love is this that a man would lay down his life for his brother? And I was sharing with the brothers how Jesus, in John the 9th chapter, the blind man, how he spit on the ground and made some paste and anointed the blind man's eyes. And I like to use this analogy. He created a CVS or a Walmart right there on the ground. Remember that. He created everything. Heaven and earth belong to him. And so he made a little pharmacist right there, some medication. And I love that. I love that. Not only do Christ want to dwell richly in our life, but he also want to send us. And as that young man went out and he washed his eyes, and his family and his friend, they saw him. They said, wait a minute, ain't you the one that was begging? Ain't you the one that fell short? Ain't you the one? And I shared with the brothers, I said, when you go out and you share the gospel and you be for real about your gospel, people are going to challenge you. Your relationship, people are going to say, wait a minute, ain't you the one that was stealing? Ain't you the one that was robbing? Ain't you the one that never did nothing for nobody? And you can say, yes, I was he. But now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not stealing no more. I'm snatching souls from the pit of hell. I'm not lying no more. I'm telling people about life and eternal life. And, you know, so that's a powerful thing right there, how the gospel is able to change the lives of men and women. And also we were sharing with them, and what we was doing, we were just doing a little scripture surfing, I like to put it that way, for the brothers that's incarcerated, because we realized that they spent a lot of their time reading the Bible, so we wanted to kind of hit some points that they had read, and they said, wow, man, I was just reading this the other day, I was just reading this yesterday. I said, see, God give you confirmation that you were doing the right thing. Amen. And so we was talking about the another blind man, because I think it's very important for these young men's eyes to be open to the errors of their ways, for their eyes to be open for the things that God have planned, have in store for them. You know, so I was sharing with them, because a lot of times we're being blinded by the things of this world. But glory be to God that he comes to open our eyes that we may see. And we was telling them about the blind man in the book of Mark. Mark the 10th chapter, verses 42 until the conclusion of that chapter, where it said that Jesus was down in Jericho and a blind man perceived him and said, and kept calling, Jesus, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And the people around Jesus were telling the blind man to be quiet, and he was yelling even the more. And I was telling brothers, you got to work out your own soul salvation. I could pray for you, I could pray with you, but it's up to you. After I done left this situation, after I done left this jail, you got to continue to go before God and pray for yourself. And guess what? Prayer isn't very complicated. Prayer is just having a conversation with God, letting God know what's going on in your life, asking God to help you work out some things in your life. That's what prayer is all about. And guess what? Prayer changes things. And I was sharing with the young man about that man that was a Bartimaeus, and that after he got Jesus' attention, can you imagine that? The creator of heaven and earth, he stopped for a blind man that didn't have any value in society, but he stopped. I said, whoa, man, that's powerful, because God stopped for me. When I was messed up from the floor up and I called out to Jesus, he actually stopped and said, hey, what would you have me to do? You know, and that's what the blind man asked Jesus when Jesus called him over there. And check this out. The blind man had some stuff in his hand. He had his whole... He had his worldly possessions in his hand. And when Jesus stopped and called him, and the disciples said, hey, come on over here, the master want to talk to you. The scriptures say, I want you to go back and read it for you. And the scriptures say that he dropped his worldly possessions. And I got to thinking, we got to let some things go to have a relationship with God. And I challenged those men, what are you willing to let go and let God? And as I go down to the jail, and as we make Bibles study announcements when we go in, and we tell them, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let the frustration go. Let the self-worth go. Let the doubts go. Let the fear go. And let God take the place of those things there. And you know what? The brothers, they hear that. They said, man, when I heard that, to let go, I was wrestling with some relationship problem. I want to let go, and I'm wrestling with court. What I need to do about my court case, man, because I'm challenging. I got to learn to let it go and let God, brother. And I'm wrestling with health issue, and I got to learn to let go and let God. I'm wrestling with finances, but I got to learn to let go and let God. That's powerful, though, brother. You know, because I have to let some things go. You know, because the gospel goes both ways, not only for them, but for me. You know? And that's what I was sharing with them. And also in the book of Hebrews, we shared with them Hebrews 4 and 2, what the writer of Hebrews said, that, hey, the gospel had been preached to them as well unto us, but it didn't profit them anything because they did not have it mixed with faith. And I was telling the brothers, you done heard the gospel. You done been in this situation. There's nothing about the gospel that's foreign to you. But why didn't it work the first time? Why didn't it work the second time? You keep coming to Bible study. You keep coming to being a part of worship service, but it's not taken. You have men that gets out, and you see them years later, a week later, a month later, and they are holding on to the word of God that they heard here in this here type of setting. That why isn't it working for you? And I was challenging them about their faith. And I said, you know, that faith is that substance of things hope for, what Hebrews said, and the evidence of things not seen. I was challenging them that the gospel is going to do what it says it's going to do. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But yet they have to mix the word of God with faith. And I use this analogy as we are men, we like to work and do things with our hands. And I use in a bag of cement as an example. Cement comes in a powdered form. It's going to do what it says it's going to do. But you got to mix it with something. If you read the instructions, it said mix it with something. And I was telling them that you mix that cement with water. And I was letting them know that the word of God is going to do what it says it's going to do. But you got to mix it with something. Got to mix it with faith. And you got to believe that God is able to do what he said he's going to do. Jesus Christ, he done a lot of miracles. But he asked him, prior to any miracle, do you believe that I can do these things? You know, you have to have faith that God is able to work through all the craziness in your life. You got to have faith that God is a restorer. And the brother said, wow, man, I never thought about it. I studied the Bible, but I never thought about my faith have a lot to do with my salvation. Yes, because you have to believe, and you know, you have to work on your faith. You got to continually to build your faith up. And how do you do that? By going through the challenges of life and not giving up on God, taking before God and say, God, I'm gonna get this to you, and I'm gonna do what I can, and I pray that you order my step. Don't let me do things on my own. I share with them about David, how David in Psalms 19 verses 14, I believe is what it is. And it said, David said, don't let my presumption sin have dominion over me. And keep thy servant safe. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And I told the brothers, you can't let your presumption sin. Those are things that they go bump in the night. Those are the things that be in your mind, so when you go to sleep, you wake, you dream about those things. That's that presumption saying, oh, what I'm gonna do when I get out of here? How I'm gonna act when I get out of here? What I'm gonna receive when I get out of here? That was just presumption saying in a negative way. If you're thinking about those things, don't let those things have dominion over you. Don't let those things control your life. Oh, when I get out of here, I'm gonna pay them back. When I get out of here, they ain't gonna never catch me again. Ain't nothing but the devil. So David said, wait a minute, I'm not going to let these things dictate my relationship with God. And so I challenged those brothers about having faith, having a faith in God. And then the upcoming week, we got a great Bible study that's coming up next Thursday. And we're going to study out the book of Hebrews, but we're going to study the entire chapter where we're actually talking about all the patriarchs that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews. And I love that study session of Hebrews there, because I didn't realize that a lot of the patriarchs that was in the book of Hebrews, they faith was challenged at various times. You know, how God called Abraham when he was 75 years old, and he heard the call and he went out. But yet during his journey, he met several kings, and he told Sarah, his wife, a beautiful young lady, the Bible said, and he told Sarah, say, hey, wait a minute, we're going to a foreign land, and these people here are kind of treacherous, and they lie to kill me and take you hostage, so if they find out that I'm your husband, so tell them that you're my sister. So Abraham did that. Not only one time, he did it twice. Can you imagine that? And God was still with him. And then, you know, and he had to go through some things. But also when he got ready to have a child, God said, hey, I'm going to give you a child in your old age. And by this time, next year, your wife is going to conceive a child. And Sarah started laughing. And God, and the men of God, they challenged her. And then Abraham said, well, maybe God want me to have a child through my handmaiden, Sarah. You know, Hagar, I think that's what her name was. So Hagar, so they went on and did all, they went and did that, and that wasn't a child of promise. Ishmael, you know, how many Ishmaels is running around here now that we're trying to help God out with jobs, with homes, with cars? We got all these little Ishmaels just running around out of control. But glory be to God that he know how to bring things back into alignment. And so we're going to share that with the young man. And what we're going to do with them, we're going to actually go through the first part of the book of Genesis, and we're going to study about the life and times of Abram. And then we're going to talk about Gideon and how Gideon was challenged with the word of God. And so I think the brothers will really, truly be blessed, because it'll build their faith up. Amen. And so we're going to allow them to go right ahead and do what they need to do. You know, do what they need to do regarding that. And so I encourage you to continue to be about our Father's business. I encourage you to continue to let Christ reign richly in your life. And we also do jail and street ministry. And we have opportunity to go down and we share with our brothers as often as possible. We also meet their physical needs with the winter clothes and the hygiene kits and things of that nature. So I challenge you, as you go through life, say, Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation? How can I meet the needs of your people? And guess what? God will give you an opportunity to do those things. And we have a guest that's coming on here in a few minutes, so we're going to just stop right here, and we're going to play you some music, and then we're going to come back, and I guess you've been called in by now. So we pray that you've been blessed by what you heard. Remember that call-in number is 310-982-4126. That call-in number is 310-982-4126. And you, too, can call in and listen and voice your opinion and your comments regarding the show. And you know what? God wants to hear from you, too. So please make yourself available to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so after this musical selection, we will have our guest on the line.
Listen, Eden is kingdom. An Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset. Let me hear you. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this.
When God made man, he made a spirit. It was his plan that we live blessed. The tempter came, we were distracted. The tempter came, and we fell. We were deemed to live a life that invisible, a life that fools, a life that riches. It is my goal to remind you of this principle. We'll be a new world.
Where my Eden citizens at? Let me hear you say.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Yeah, sing it to somebody.
Let's get back to Eden, live
guess what?
He's a king.
He's a king.
Now all is well.
Now all is well. So what are you waiting for?
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Tell somebody. Say.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Oh, you can sing it. Now right here. Come on, y'all. Let's open up your mouth. Come on. Eden, where you at?
Thank you for listening to that song. We pray that you've been blessed by that song. We have our guest on the line right now, and we are very honored and pleased to have this young lady come on. She's no stranger to our internet program. She's a writer and a poet and an all-around good person and a Christian. At this time, I'd like to welcome aboard Miss Vera. Good morning, Miss Vera.
Good morning, Minister Lewis.
Well, welcome to the program. God bless you.
Well, thank you for having me again and giving me another opportunity to take part of your program.
Yes, we're excited about you. We're excited about the gifting that God has blessed you with. Will you please share that with our listening audience?
Yes, of course. I am, my name, first of all, is Vera Squire, and I am from New Orleans, Louisiana, and but I moved here in Dallas, Texas after Hurricane Katrina. I'm the author of Black Gumbo, The Healing of a City in Ruins, August 29, 2005. And after the hurricane, you know, many of us were scattered, and we had to move, take place, or go back to the place where we came from. But I decided to stay here in Dallas. But regardless, God laid it on my heart to write about the hurricane and how it had an effect on our lives. So I would like to share that with your listening audience this morning.
All right, we'll go right ahead.
Okay, my book, Black Gumbo. First of all, the title is Black Gumbo, The Healing of a City in Ruins, August 29, 2005. Now, Black Gumbo is part of the title I chose for this book because gumbo is one of New Orleans' fine cuisine. When you make gumbo from scratch, you have to make the root perfect. Because if you burn the root of the gumbo, then you will be left with a bitter gumbo and a bitter taste in your mouth. That was the kind of taste we were left with when Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans on August 29, 2005. Its powerful winds and heavy rain overthrew the city and turned the city upside down, as well as many lives. It was a bitter battle. This is how I described the aftermath of the hurricane. I compared it to a referendum movie being filmed, but no one was behind the camera. It was horrible. When you read this book, I would like for you to keep in mind the reality, the healing, and the hope. And this is how I describe the book.
Hey, man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And as you was writing this book here, I know there were some challenges. Share with us some of the challenges that you faced as you was writing this book about New Orleans, Black Gumbo, New Orleans.
The challenge I faced, first of all, was a feeling of loss. I just lost everything in my place. Going back to after the water had came down or received from the city, from out the city, when I came back, everything was lost. I lost, and I had to start back over to rebuild. But the feeling of just that devastating hurricane that took the city, overthrew it, and just about everyone, life was scattered, friends, family. Sometimes we come together, sometimes we can't get back together. But I sat on the side of the bed one day, and I just thought of a poem. I named it Black Gumbo. But this poem came to me. I would like to share it with your audience, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead.
The poem that says, it's kind of sum up my feelings that I had on that particular day. It says, Black Gumbo, as unreal as it may seem, Black Gumbo is now a part of history. High stake, orange alert danger, who was a stranger in New Orleans when she arrived on August the 29th, 2005. Now, because of this unwelcome stranger who shook, shaked, and shimmied her way through our streets unauthorized, when she came mean with a vengeance. She made more people cry. Some even died because of the black eyes and the black skies that left a hole in the heart of a city that once rumbled. But to me, it's a city I now call Black Gumbo. Black as the night that skim across the wild blue yonder. I wonder how black a night can be when it was day in reality. But after her hard hits, her right and left jabs that grabbed our attention, I don't want to fail to mention how she dismantled cars and houses alike. She even managed to turn off all the lights. Hurricane Katrina was the name of this stranger that stumbled on a city that once rumbled. But to me, it's a city I now call Black Gumbo. That was my feelings.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. You know, as you were sharing your poetry with us, I was getting a visual picture of what the devastation was being brought to the city there, and how you were able to write it so plainly that I was caught up in that storm myself there. Miss Vera, you know, as you have been writing and as you have been able to share your expression on paper here, if someone would like to pick up some of your writing or your book or just some of your poetry, how do they go about doing it?
Okay, first, there's several ways. I have a publisher. The name of the publisher is American Star Books, and you can go by just going to the computer and go to www.AmericanStarBooks.com and click on their online shopping. And you can also, I have a Kindle book. It's an e-book when you go on the computer. And you can also press my ISBN number in and you will be able to order the book. And my ISBN number is 1-608-36-123-3. say it one more time. I missed the first dash. 1-60836-123-3. And you'll be able to order Black Gumbo. Or you can simply call Sarah at 240-285-9175. That's 240-285-9175. And her name is Sarah.
All right, great. Thank you for giving us info. At information we will pass along. I'm making notes of it right now because, as you write, I want to continue to follow your career. And now you have several other books that you also have, also.
Yes, it's, one is Soul to Soul of Inspiration, and that was my first book. And the other recent book, the 2012, I wrote A Short Story About Eve, It Was Not an Apple. And it's also on hardback cover, Kindle, ebook, Google, and this book is another book that I love. All my books are. My first book, first of all, Soul to Soul, it's part of Hurricane Katrina also. And then I wrote about life. But Eve also is about the King James Version of the Bible in Genesis. And I love the scriptures, like you said. I love it, too. I just love reading the Bible. And I took the word of the Bible of Genesis. But this book here, It's Our Story About Eve, It Was Not an Apple. Just to kind of give another way of letting the people know how it came about, this change came about an apple. God showed me in the vision of what type of fruit it was. You know, some people say it was an apple, but we know now that the truth, you know, wasn't going to come out. So if you read this book, A Short Story About Eve, It Was Not an Apple, and it kind of explains a lot, and it also, you know, kind of opened your eyes to where what he was talking about and where the real is coming from. And it just, you know, and it's also, it's not a poetry book. This is a story, and it's real, real good. And don't just take my word. Just buy the book and see for yourself. And it's really exciting. And it also have a segment on love, what all love is and what it's contained. And it's just a real good book. And I just hope everyone will pick up this book also, Soul to Soul, Black Gumbo, and also A Short Story About Eve, It Was Not an Apple.
Hey, man, that's some great books there. And now, will you care to share with us some more of your poetry?
Yes, indeed. Minister, let me tell you. Mr. Lewis, this is the second poem of the book that I wrote, and it's about the streetcar. I kind of, when I went down there to check my place, I looked at a few people that was in the city. Not many was there, and the devastation still was there and noticeable. And a streetcar, the old streetcar, the streetcar named Desire, was running in few places there that it couldn't be disposed or could be run across the street or just travel for travel basis. But I say it up in this poem. I call it I Am the Streetcar Named Desire. I kind of put myself up being the streetcar, of how the way the streetcar would look at the people and how it had a lot of people during that time in the city, but now everything had changed. But anyway, in any case, this is what I say. In this poem, chuckle doesn't mean to laugh. It is the sound the streetcar makes as it moves on the tracks while the cable car supports its movement. Now, this is the poem. It says, I crawl through the streets of disparity, but for the sake of clarity, it's rare that I don't have anyone to take good care of me. I came to my stop at the station only to find it had little circulation of the crowds that once filled the streets. I blew my horn, yet no one heard me, as I trek along through the streets of misery. But I'm the streetcar named Desire. I trek along through the streets without missing a beat, as I come to face the harsh reality of a lesser crowd that once filled the streets. Coming out of the storm that came through the city, oh, what a pity. But after everything had settled and everything had calmed, I still chuck along because I'm the streetcar named Desire. I chuck along through the streets without missing a beat as I come to face the harsh reality of a lesser crowd that once filled the streets.
Amen, amen. What a beautiful poem there. Amen. You know what? You're very gifted, Miss Vera. I really enjoy your poem. And I encourage all our listening audience to go to the website and to log on and get the copy of those books. That she has three books that she had made mention of. Soul to Soul, I think. We just shared some poetry out of that one. And and one of the book of Black Gumbo, New Orleans, A City in Ruins. Amen. And the story of Eve, It Was Not an Apple. I am excited about those books there. We pray that our listening audience be excited about it. And go ahead and purchase those books there. Now, Ms. Vera, now I'd love to ask this question because I want our listening audience to have a sense that they can do the same thing. Ms. Vera, did you ever think in your wildest dream that you'll have the enough talent and skill to write to write like you write now?
You know, Minister, simply no, because I started writing at the age of 17. I was 17 years old when I wrote my first limerick, and it was a contest I was trying to win. But I say, well, you know, a lot of people, in a contest. But I just kept writing and writing, and I wrote a lot of poetry that I used to say at church, a lot of poems. They would call me up, and I would minister to the people. But my poems mostly were...
Hello? Yes, go right ahead.
And it's about mostly about God, and I just love it. And but I put down my writing after a while. It was many, many years. I didn't wrote anything. And all of a sudden when Hurricane Katrina came along, for some odd reason, that's God. So there's nothing odd about it. But God placed it on my heart to start writing again. And I started writing these books. And two books are poetry books. And one book is a storybook. And it's a book about God. And it's just something that he placed on my heart to do. And I just love it. I love it. And I'm hoping that people will take time and purchase these books and just read them and just see for yourself. My opinion is one thing, but these books, I mean, when I read it, I say, God, I say, wow. I feel so good. It makes me feel good. It's a feeling that only, you can just have that feeling for yourself and just know for yourself that these are words from God. It's not anything coming from just me. It's got to be God, because I wouldn't have never, in my wildest dream, as you put it, imagined, such words and how the way it's put together. It's come from above, and I just thank God for it, and hopefully God will, let the people just buy the book. I'm hoping that they will just open up your heart and just buy the book and books and, see for yourself.
Amen. I'm pretty sure that God will touch that heart. You know what? This has been a great interview, Miss Spiro. Thank you very much. You know, I always think fondly of you. You're a regular listener, and then you're a guest also. So, you know, you're always welcome to be on our program. We want to continue to follow your career. We want to continue to pick up your literature and support what you're doing here, because I know that as people are reading a book of poetry and your book about New Orleans, that they get in a sense that they are rest down. I love that. I love that, because when you sharing your poetry, I can, you know, you make it so plain, I can actually see what you're doing in the poetry. And thank you for spending time with us this morning. You could be doing a lot of other things, but yet you make yourself available to share your gifting with God's people. And I know that someone is going to hear this. And, you know, we have an archive section. So if they miss it today, they can always go back. And who knows, maybe someone hear it and say, hey, I want to get a hold of this author. I want to hear more about this author here. And now you're saying that you'll have some other ways of people contacting you, right? Are you on the YouTube? A lot of people on YouTube now. Are you on YouTube in any form?
Yes, but now I have two music on YouTube. It's How Great Thou Art Instrumental. That's by El Caston of Jamalar Studio in New Orleans. And also a gospel rap I had wrote a long time ago. Don't worry, I'm not a rapper. But it's a spiritual rap that was saying I wrote it for my children, but no one didn't want to do it. But it's a song I put out there. So anyone want to listen to this, What You Gonna Do? And it came to me by reading What We Gonna Do of all the crisis that we face today. I was reading St. John, How to Wave Five Wise, Five Foolish Virgins came about. And, you know, it just dawned on my heart, yeah, what we gonna do when Jesus come back? What we gonna do? So it's just a question. And I put a lot of music out sometimes, and It's just something that I like to do. I like to write music. I like to write poems, and I love to write short stories.
You know, amen. Yeah. And guess what? You have people that love to hear about your music and your short stories. So you keep doing what you're doing to the glory of God. Ms. Vera, we're not going to hold you any longer. Thank you once again for being a guest on the program, and we're looking forward to you coming back and sharing your gifting with our listening audience and with me. I'm truly being blessed by you just being a friend of me and a friend of the show. So thank you very much.
Well, I enjoy it.
God bless you, and we'll be talking later.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Oh, what a great interview that we had there with Miss Vera. Amen. That she's a great person. Great. And I love her book of poetry. Amen. And we have our co-host on the line right now. And so he's coming on here. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Reverend Lewis.
Good morning. Man, we had our guest on the line this morning. She has some poetry that she shared with us and about her book, Black Gumbo, Story of New Orleans, A City in Ruins, and one of her books, and Soul to Soul, her book of poetry, and another book about Eve, It Wasn't an Apple. And so she shared that with us, man. And it brought back the memory about you, like about you sharing poetry with us.
Yeah, man. Amen. To write poetry like that is a gift from God. And for
yes,
people
it is.
To, really to get the together and put everything together and put it all in one book, one graph, and save all their work in order to publish it. You know, it's a great deal.
Yes,
big
Brother Dan,
to do it.
Yes, oh man, you know that is so true. Brother Dan, you know we're going into our fourth year of broadcasting this internet program, and this is our second show of the year. Last week we did a archive section of me speaking over at my church, Shady Grove Baptist Church, and now we're going to continue with what we've been doing in the past, but we're going to just crank it up a notch, and we want to thank you for your support, and you've been a co-host on this program, brother, you know, because you make
hey,
sure
man.
What it is.
Hey, man, well, I've been kind of down in the world of really, you know, I ain't been feeling, you know, the enemy kind of come in telling me, man, I can't do this, and I just say, yeah, the liar. You know, but yes, I'm back. And right now I like to give all my condolences to the family of Pastor Andre Crouch.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
He passed 5 years ago, and he's a great gospel songwriter, great pastor. And, you know, for him to do the things he did, he was an icon. You know, and there are few people like that have made it in life like that. You know, in order to start writing music when he was 14 years old, you know, in order to shape the gospel world, you know, through his words.
And that is so true, Brother Daniel. That is so true, because he stood the test of time. His music spanned generations, man. Even the younger gospel singers are being influenced by him and his music, brother. So I am so glad that you did bring that up with Andre Crouch, with the passing of it, man. We lost a great Christian legend, man.
Yeah, and then we lost Jeffro Pugh, the great football player. You know, it's like they playing this game tomorrow. That touchdown he scored was on Jeffro Pugh.
Yeah.
And Green Bay Packers won that game on.
Yeah, back in the day, the weather was against them and odds was against them. But who knows? But this time they're going to win because Dallas have a way of beating teams like that.
You know, Jeffro Pugh was a substitute teacher at Pearl St. Johnson back in, I think it was 68, 69. You know, he was a substitute. And he came in our classroom one day, man, and everybody was asking, "Say, man, why you let him score on you like that, man?" And he said, "Man, it was cold." See, he said, "Man, I ain't never felt cold like that. You know, the ground was so cold," he said, "you couldn't even step on it. When you step on it, you know, it was just like walking on sheets of ice."
Yeah, because I saw him digging in there, man, trying to break it up, get some traction. So
he tried to dig it in.
Yeah, and the conditions back then was far worse than what we're going to be exposed to today, because now we have all the thermal protection and we can do things to kind of, you know, relieve some of that that stress that come with that type of weather, you know.
Yeah.
But, Brother Daniel, you know, occasionally you have poetry. Now, do you have anything that you could share with us this morning before we get out of here? Because, you know, sometimes people ask me, say, we like Brother Daniel, man. We like the poetry that he share.
Man, Brother Daniel, I don't have nothing deep. I'll get ready tomorrow. I kind of got caught off guard today. But next week I'll be well prepared next week for you.
Okay.
So I don't, and with Miss Vera, I don't want to, you know, overshadow her. You know.
Well, thank you very much, dear. You know, Miss Vera is a great lady, and you know what? She likes other artists out, so she know that she's not alone doing these things here. And so, Rick, we have to realize that we're not the only one that do what we do. You know, God have many people doing, and because everything is tailor-made for this different audience and things. So we thank you for your respect and your honoring Mrs. Vera on that. But also, you're gifted, too, and talented. So we want to be able to share that gift with our listening audience also. Now, Brother Daniel, now, you know what kind of shows we've been putting on for the last several years. We want to continue that format, but we're going to crank it up a little bit. So we're going to have a little, we're going to do a little change. Sometimes we're just going to just talk amongst ourselves, you know, because we want our listening audience to know that it's two is in agreement. You know, it honors God. When it said, when two or more are in the midst, I'm in the midst there also. So we're going to just spend some time just sharing what God is doing in our own life and our ministry, because as you are doing ministry, you see the hand of God at every aspect of your ministry. So I want you to come on and share some of those things with our listening audience.
Okay. Now we'll do that.
All right. And then we get ready to get on out of here in a few minutes here, brother. Daniel, so how's this year going for you so far, man? This is New Year's, man. Another year. We into it 10 days now into the new year. Everything going okay for you?
Yeah. Last night my wife went to a conference of prophetic people. And now, the word was that the year of 2015 is a weird year that basically when you state something, it should be infinite statement. It should be a statement of completion. Because this year is a year of no looking back. You know what I'm saying?
Times are
winding down, Reverend Lewis. You know, when you look around, you see all these things was happening in the Bible. That Jesus had prophesied and said it was going to happen, like these earthquakes. And you look around and the famines. You got countries at ease. You got people are rioting in the streets and everywhere. And you looked at the things you do today. It's almost like you can't bring back. So basically, the words that you speak out of your mouth, you have to watch. Speak positive things. Never speak negative about your situation. So that's my word for 2015.
Hey, man, that is so true, Brother Daniel. That is so true. Because we serve a God that's more than enough. We serve a God that's faithful and just. You know, we have to be mindful, brother, that God is in charge of everything. And, you know, and you got to speak things, as you said, as though they are. You know, you have to be real about it, though. You got to be real about it. And guess what? God knows that, man. So, and I'm in agreement with you on those things. There's no looking back. You know, a lot of times we, you want to reminisce on the good old days. You know, it really the good old days wasn't that good. If you think about it, it wasn't that good. It's only good because you made it through the good old days. You know, because as we look at this time in our life and we say, yeah, and yes, he did. God brought us through those days. And as we have challenges today, if the same God that brought us through that, he'll bring us through this too. You know, that the song said, if he did it before, he could do it again. You know, I love that, brother. I love that, man, because I know what it's like to be down. Rick, I know what it's like to be out in the cold, man. I know what it's like to be homeless, man. I know what it's like to be hungry. But I know that God did not leave me like that. He was with me, and he said, man, I expect great things out of you. So that's why I encourage men's eyes to be open, their ears to be open, because God is constantly revealing himself. And you said something there. You said no going back. Brother Daniel, no, we're about ready to get out of here. We're about ready to get out of here, brother. I want to thank you for being a co-host on the program. You came in just right on time, you know. And so we want to thank our guest this morning, Ms. Vera, for her time here on the show here, for her sharing her gift and her talent with us. She has several books that she shared with us. Black Gumbo, New Orleans, A City in Ruins. And then she have a Soul, a book of poetry, and another book of the story of Eve. It was not an apple. We encourage each and every one of you to go out and go on the website and look for those books. Her name was Vera Squire, and she gave us some information regarding how to get in touch with her and the book. So I ask you to go back and listen to the show again and type her in Google and pull it up, and then go to the site and you can order an e-book. You know, man, you don't have to go to the bookstore no more. You can just get everything through the internet.
Amen.
You know,
no more bookstores.
We got that's something else. Hey, you know, Brother Daniel, you know you're gifted too. I'm going to have an interview with you one day so people can know what you're all about, brother. You know, because you write songs, and you're a poet, and you're a musician, and you went to school, and you graduated. Man, you're very talented and gifted.
Amen.
And so
it's not really me, it's God. It's God.
Yes.
Man, you know, why was I really given these gifts? But he said, it's not for me, it's for the glory of me.
Yes, it is.
You
know, yes, it
glory
is.
Glory of God that sent me. Even when sometimes I wonder why I do these things, but say, you know, it's a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you have to fulfill your purpose in life.
And that is so true. Brother Dan, we're ready to get out of here, man. You care to close us out in a word of prayer, and then we'll get back next week with the same, you know, talking about the goodness of God.
Heavenly Father, as we gather on the airways today, first, I want you to forgive us for everything we have done to anybody, anything in unkind words we have spoken against anybody. Forgive us, oh Lord. Forgive our sins and wash them clean. For all our artists and everybody that have listened today, I want to help them and guide them and tell them that Jesus, get them ready, because Jesus is coming back. Put your house in order. Get them ready for the coming of the Messiah, the recoming of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you there, my brother. God bless you. And we're looking forward to seeing you once again. Amen. And at the same time, the same station. Amen. And so you're listening to Free on the Inside. Amen. God bless you. You have been listening to Free on the Inside with your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and Brother Ricky Daniel. God bless you. Looking forward to speaking with you next week. Amen.